We want to just sort of continue this very same theme in the message this morning, and with the extra the sharing of about the Gideons here this morning, and I'm going to be moving rather quickly here, and because the intent was for me to have a shorter message, and I picked one of the most passionate topics I can have for me right now as the message this morning. So we're going to move rather quickly. And just on the heels of that, next week, Sharon and the ladies who went to Nicaragua will be sharing about their trip. And they'll be using a segment of our service to do that. And then in the following week, which would be the 24th, I believe it is. We have a guest speaker here, Pastor Bob Acoth from, he's the associate pastor from Canon, will be here with us. He's a good friend of mine. I look forward to hearing what God is going to speak to us through Bob. And then following that, we'll be at Easter. So Easter Sunday, so the Resurrection Sunday. We're looking, so we can look forward to the next several weeks here of worshiping together here at Maranatha on Sunday morning. Yesterday morning, I woke up just feeling a bit overloaded and overwhelmed with the events of the week, the tasks of the day, and the weight of having a message to finalize for this morning. Jolene recognized this in probably my silence. I'm not sure, but I would guess because of my silence in the morning. And she took it on herself to come and pray for me audibly. In her prayer, she prayed something like this. This phrase stuck out to me, that prayed that I would be able to speak what I truly believe this morning. And this morning, this is what I truly believe. It's a topic that I would say is probably the most important missing ingredient in the church today, in the American church. It's the missing aspect of what enables us to grow as a Christian. It's what prevents people's lives from being changed. And at the same time I preach this morning, I recognize very intently that I have not arrived. This is a topic of learning. It's a process of growth. It's something that I want to know more. Isn't that it true how God works, that, you know, he doesn't just say, well, there you are, you're done. It's rather we live our entire lives growing in our relationship with him. It's a process of growth. Every day, every week, we want to keep moving forward. My brother Jack here often used to say, and you haven't said this in a while, but he says, at the end of the year, I don't want to look back and say I'm the same as I was last year. I want to be different. I want to grow. And that's the process of growth for us as believers. It's the way God designed our relationship with him. I don't know, as you listen to the last song, it says, I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds. I don't know how you think of the second coming of Jesus. To Kendrick referred to it as something we look forward to, but I wonder, do we as Christians look forward to that day? Or is there a sense of fear? I think for all of us, that process of growth eliminates that fear. We have the Word of God, which very clearly tells us that through our faith in Jesus, we can be totally forgiven of the sin that when we stand before God in judgment, when Jesus returns, or we face death, that we will not be held accountable for our sin because of our faith in Jesus. Amen? That's why we can sing, Hosanna, we're looking forward to the day when Jesus returns. It's that simple. It's that plain. But in the meantime, we live life. We live life, right? We deal with it. So this morning, the title of the message is Releasing the Spirit in Your Life. And we're going to do something here. We're going to look at the foundational truths to the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to move on to what leads to this release, okay? And this is not a 1, 2, 3, now you got it. This is looking at truths that enable us to grasp how the Spirit works within us. I want you to do two things. You have a bulletin. If you don't, by the way, there were some packets for the Gideons that were they all passed out. If you did not receive that brochure, just raise your hand. And if you need a bulletin, just raise your hand. There's a couple up here, Brent. If you can, you got one more left. So I guess whoever gets to the back and on the Gideon brochure there, whoever gets to the back on that first can have it. But the other thing, if you need a bulletin to write on the back page is blank of your bulletin. And what I would like, well, mine's not. I've been writing on it. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to write down a couple things that we're going to, I'm going to try and remember to point them out that I'd like you just to write down. They're not on the overhead. Just write them down. The other thing I'd like you to do is if you develop a question in your mind as I'm speaking, if you develop a question about the message, a truth, something that didn't make sense, something like, yeah, but Lynn, what? And yeah, but this. Write it down and hand it to me after the service. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I will, depending how easy your questions are, I will attempt to look at some of these questions and do a follow-up because I believe there could be some questions that develop from the message this morning. So you got that? We're going to be writing down a couple things I'm going to be asking you to write down as a way of taking notes, and then I would love to have questions if questions develop in your mind. Okay, first thing, foundational truth that I want you to write down. Very basic. Prayer is our connection to God. Just write it down. Prayer is our connection to God. Amen with that? You're on board with that. You understand. Okay, the verse that, and I have it up here on the NCV, I like the way it's worded. It says, the Lord is close to everyone who prays to Him, to all who truly pray to Him. Let's repeat this together. You ready? The Lord is close to everyone who prays to Him, to all who truly pray to Him. Isn't that a great verse? The thought that you and I can be close to God, that God can be close to us, that happens through prayer. This is prayer as our connection. When we call on the Lord, we recognize who God is. We recognize that we need God. And we communicate our desires to God and our desires for God. It's a conversation. I like the illustration here. I have a picture you can throw up there of the internet. I'm doing some internet work, and it just hit me that when we have a line coming into our house, and we connect our computer to that line or via wireless, we are connecting to the World Wide Web. And information goes out that line, and it also comes back in through that line, right? So our computer sends a signal, it connects, and we receive data back and forth through that line. And that's sort of the way I view prayer, is that prayer is not just us talking to God. It's not a one way that, God, what do you want? It's us connecting with God and listening to what God speaks to us through prayer. And that's where we often get caught in this trap, in that prayer is just us saying, God, I need this. Oh, God, I got this coming up tomorrow at work. Help me. This just happened to me. Help me. God, please change my wife. Please change my husband. You know what our prayer is? It's all us. God, what can you do for me lately? No, prayer is a connection to God. It is us relating to God. It is an output and an input. So Genesis 4:26, a verse that I just love. This is right after Cain and Abel, the story of Cain and Abel in the Bible. You remember the first murder when Cain killed Abel, and it was right after, I believe, in my mind, I believe the human race began to realize the pain and the suffering that came with sin as they dealt with loss of life. And they realize, the verses continue on, but then in verse 26 it says, Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. I love that phrase. It seemed like there was a time in history where man began to realize that they were disconnected from God and they needed God. Is that you? We need God. We need Him. We need Him. We need that connection. We need that connection. So prayer is not just, it's a connection, but it's also a download, waiting for God's thoughts. It's how we hear, this is how the Holy Spirit speaks to our minds, is through prayer. When we are praying, we sit quietly before God, and we listen to what He's speaking. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 3:7. It says, so as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, wanting to hear God. You know, in the seven letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, they end, each letter ends with this phrase. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. As Christians, part of our daily walk and growth as a Christian is hearing from God. It is listening. It's not just us going through the motions of reading Scripture or praying or trying to live a good life. It's about us listening to God and hearing what He has to speak to us. And He does that. He does that through the Word. He does that through other people. He also does it by speaking directly into our minds in quiet times. God speaks. God speaks. One of the things on Wednesday evenings is a few of us gather here together to pray. One of the themes has been listening to what God is going to speak to us that night. And He does in many times. It's a consistent thought process that comes out of our evening, and we leave encouraged. So it's not only a download from God, our connection, but it's also an upload. So if you want to just, under prayer is our connection to God, you can write these three words, connection, download, and upload. It's communicating my thoughts back to God. You know that God wants to hear from you? God wants to hear. He wants to hear you praise Him. He wants to hear you talk to Him. He wants to hear you talk verbally about what is going on in your life. That's the relationship that God wants. Jesus said this way, He said, ask and it will be given. We're to praise God, we're to thank God. It's this uploads to God. It's calling on the Lord, it's listening to Him, it's talking to Him, this whole thing of prayer. Now I'm going to just I want you to hear this very clearly. There is no secret formula to prayer, except for one thing, and it's found in this verse. The verse, if you could put the first PowerPoint slide up, it's found in this verse. The Lord is close to everyone who prays to Him, to all who truly pray. God's not after
going through the motions of praying. God's after you being you truly speaking your heart and connecting your heart with Him. That's what God is after. He wants that connection, that relationship. It's that desire, that longing within us to connect with God. That's what God honors. Okay, first foundational truth is simply prayer is our connection to God. The second thing is this. The Holy Spirit is our connection. And I struggle with this. I'm not sure how to do the wording of this, but I'm going to say it this way. You can take some variations of this. The Holy Spirit is our connection to God's power. All right, we're going to leave it at that. I'm not going to try and explain my struggle here. But in essence, what I'm after here is the Holy Spirit is action. The Holy Spirit is action. We just sang it here. Come, Holy Spirit, come. What we're asking for is not just that the Holy Spirit would come and be with us, but that the Holy Spirit would come and have action in our life. The Holy Spirit is built around action. Everything. It's always. When the Holy Spirit is there, things happen. Movement. Movement. Now, I'm going to flip through A, B, C, D, E, F, six things that the Holy Spirit, where we see the Holy Spirit moving. And I'm going to throw a verse up there. I'm going to ask you, and I want you to stay alert with me here real quickly. I want you to see how the Holy Spirit works. 2 Corinthians 1, what are we seeing here? What is the Holy Spirit? What does He do? Nope, look at the verse. What's He do? Seals us. He seals us. What's that mean? The Holy Spirit is our stamp of ownership that God puts on us. So when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we recognize our need for a Savior, and we say, Jesus, I believe in You according to the Word of God. Then the Holy Spirit comes in within us, and He becomes our seal. He puts our seal of ownership on us. Okay? Next one. By the way, it's just a deposit. Go back to that verse, please. I'm barking this morning. Here we go. He puts a seal of ownership on us and puts His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Why? Because the day's going to come when we're going to go to heaven, and He's going to give us a whole new body where we're going to be perfect, and we're not going to need the Holy Spirit in us, because we're going to be in the presence of God in a perfect body. And so the Spirit is just a deposit on what is to come. The deposit is also something that when you put money in a bank, at least you used to get interest. You don't anymore. But you used to get interest, and that money does what? It grows. And so the Holy Spirit is just a deposit in our life. It's something that is put there, and as we grow and mature in our faith, the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit grows in us. Okay, it's a growth process. Number two, Romans 8 and 11. What do you see? The Holy Spirit is our what? Somebody say it? Life. He's life. The Holy Spirit is what gives us life, giving life to our bodies. Okay, just going to fly through. The next one, Romans 8, 14. The Holy Spirit is our leader. Another word for leader would be guide. The Holy Spirit is one who guides us. Okay? Good. Let's go to the next one. 2 Corinthians 3:18. What does the Holy Spirit do to us? Transforms. Changes. How many of you like who you are? We have one child who raised their hands. I like that, because you should like who you are. You should like who you are, but how many of you like the parts of you that you don't like? Yeah, there's always a part of us that we just don't like. And this is the work that God does in us through His Holy Spirit. That's His role. Again, the Holy Spirit is action, action, action. He moves. And the next verse, Galatians 5:17-18. The Holy Spirit gives us what? The Holy Spirit gives us what?
Freedom.
Not freedom. Possibly. Freedom would be one, but there's something else here. Desire? Nope, looking for something else. We're not guilty under the law, that's right. It deals with the conflict with the flesh. Yeah, the Holy Spirit would. It's a good point. I see where you're going with that. The Holy Spirit does draw a line there and say the Spirit versus the flesh. It creates that conflict, okay? But there's something else I'm looking for. It's not, the word is not in there. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Yeah, I see how you're struggling to get this. The word I'm looking for is that it is the power to win, to defeat the sin nature. So it's not there. I see where that verse is not real clear in what I'm trying to go at. But there's a lot of good things. You like that? Did I just screw up in that one or what? I'm not sure if I did or not, but I think you guys got a lot out of that anyhow, didn't we? That's the goal. All right, the next verse, verse 22. The Holy Spirit yields positive character qualities, good fruit, life that people say, yeah, there's a different life because of the work of the Spirit. Now, we've talked about two foundational things, and they are prayer and they are the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to tie the two together. We're going to tie the two together. And I want you to understand. I talked about the Spirit being action. I just received a message that may or may not be accurate, that the meal is going to be late this afternoon. So that may or may not be accurate. So, but we're going to pretend it is accurate. How about that? Prayer moves the Spirit to action. If you can write this phrase down, prayer moves the Spirit to action. Prayer moves the Spirit to action. We have the Holy Spirit within us as believers. We also have the ability to connect with God through prayer. How do we release this Spirit in our life? That happens through prayer. That happens through prayer. Let me give you some examples from Scripture. Jesus, 40 days of praying, followed by the temptation. Okay? He prayed, and then the temptation, the difficulty. When Jesus was exhausted from the crowds, he went up and he prayed. Before the cross, when he was facing a difficult time, when he knew he was going to face this cross coming up, he went to the garden to pray. Did Jesus have the fullness of the Spirit in his life? Absolutely. Why did he need to pray? The prayer is, I'm using this in my terms here, releasing the power of the Spirit in his life. It connected him with the Father. And release that Spirit to work within him, to give him strength. Pentecost, and let's build on that. Let's build on this. Pentecost, when Jesus ascended back into heaven, he told the disciples, go into Jerusalem and do what? And wait. What did they do while they waited? They prayed. They prayed until the power of the Spirit came. Again, when the Spirit comes, it is action. As they prayed, as they worshiped there together, the Spirit was poured out. Acts 1:14 says they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. They were all together there, praying. And then the power of the Spirit acted. Okay? Early church leaders, there was a need within the church to take care of the widows. They weren't being dealt with fairly. Verse 3 and 4 of Acts 6. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Turn this responsibility over to them so they can give their attention to prayer and ministry of the word. Now, the interesting thing here is that we often think of pastors as being ones full of the Spirit
and ready to preach, right? We hope.
However, the Spirit, the men they chose were full of the Spirit. So the work of the Spirit, the action of the Spirit, is not just for the preacher. It's for every believer who is simply going out and doing the work of the Lord. Simply our hospitality committee here. Those who prepare food for us. A Spirit-filled, the work of the Spirit is necessary there, just for that simple work. Antioch, one more illustration from where the Spirit, prayer moved the Spirit. You got to look at these verses here. Acts 13, 1 to 3. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called, let's skip all that. Verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit got what they were doing. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting or praying. It was in a spirit of prayer here. By the way, worship and prayer are not two separate things. They are together. They are together. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit said, "Set." You see that? They were together and the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Set apart Barnabas, set apart Saul for the work that I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them out. God speaks through prayer, and the Holy Spirit is the action. The Holy Spirit is the action. I want you, Henderson, who I often utilize, he has taught me a lot about prayer. Daniel Henderson. By the way, if you've seen your bulletin, there's an event coming up on April 2nd that we would love to have you join us with on prayer. But anyhow, Henderson says the most compelling reason to pray is that God is worthy to be praised. I'm okay with that. But I'm also would say that the most compelling reason to pray is that when we pray, it releases the Holy Spirit to move and to work. The Holy Spirit is about action. He's about movement. And let's look at that. Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the first surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This is in creation. The Spirit of God was there. I want you to follow with me a little bit in my thinking here. This is where you may have some questions, and I encourage you to write them down if you do. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three make up the Trinity. All three of them were present at creation. Okay? All three of them were present at creation. All three of them had a role in creation. So I'm going to take the Trinity, I'm going to take God and break it into three parts. Part number one is God, the Father. God, the Father, is the imagined, he is the mind behind it. He imagined, he designed, he thought out creation. Okay? Jesus is the what? John 1:1 said Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the one who spoke the earth into being. Psalms 33:6 says it this way. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. The word, creation was spoke into being. So we have God imagining, thinking, the Jesus' role as being the one who speaks it into being. And then we have the Spirit who did the work of creation. The Spirit is always tied with action. He does the work. Are you following me? Three parts of the Trinity, three roles at creation. They're all God. So God in the heaven, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's not saying that God didn't create. It's they're all one. And I know we can't quite grasp that in our brain, but I want you just to get that illustration. The Spirit did the work of creation. The Spirit is action. God thought it. Jesus said it. The Spirit did it. Now, Ezekiel, the prophet, talks about the Spirit being the hand of God. Look at this verse, Ezekiel 3:14. The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness and in anger of my spirit with the strong hand of the Lord upon me. There's a whole sermon right in that. I can't go there because of time. But the hand of God, being the Spirit of God, that moves us, that changes us, that works in us. Now, I want us to see that we are created in the image of God. We are like the Trinity. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. In our body, we have a creative mind like God. We're made in His image. We think. That's one of the ways that we are like God's image. Okay? We can't create. Our power is limited. But we do have the mind to think and to imagine. We have the will and desires within us. God has created us like Him in this way. That's number one. Number two, through Jesus, we are connected to the Spirit. Through Jesus. Jesus is the connector. Through our faith in Jesus. Jesus said, I will put my Spirit in you. Remember, Jesus is the Word. So Jesus, that's the connection there. That Jesus, through Jesus, we have connection to the Spirit. And I just said that wrong. God said, I will put my Spirit in you. Jesus said, I will send my Spirit. I believe I misspoke there. Through our prayer, when we pray and we speak, we are moving the Spirit to action. Jesus said, pray in my name. So we are taking the word role of Jesus through our connection to Him. And our prayer moves the Spirit to action. Jesus said this way, and let me explain it. When Jesus walked the earth, when he said, I only do what the will of my Father. So Jesus had such a connection to God, to the Father, that He never spoke anything into being, such as a miracle. He never turned water to wine on His own will. He only did it when He knew the will of the Father through the connection. That's why it's so important, a foundational truth, that prayer is not just us talking to God and saying, God, do this for me. But it is us connecting with God and receiving from God and then speaking and moving the Spirit to action. Jesus knew exactly what the Father wanted to do. His connection was flawless. And so I ask the question, could it be that prayer is what releases the Spirit in your life? You understand what I'm saying? I could spend a little more time, and I may, next week. When I said may, all you kids goes, oh, no. giving you examples from Acts, from the Old Testament, Old and New Testament, of where we see this lived out. I mentioned at the beginning that yesterday morning, Jolene prayed for me out loud, audibly. When she mentioned about praying for me, my mind was worrying so strongly. I was like, my humanness, I simply thought, well, what good will that do? You guys are going, oh, surely not Lynn. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. Because the processes in my mind and what all I had going on was just like,
Why? I didn't feel like praying, much less getting ready for a sermon on Sunday morning. But yet she was sensitive to what the Holy Spirit was telling her, and she prayed. Now, her and I haven't even talked to her since this, so this is the first dialogue we've had about this. And I heard the words of that prayer. And throughout the day yesterday, I sensed at different times where that prayer was being answered. And I was a little overwhelmed as I began to realize that this was a message that I had studied and prepared for on Wednesday. And on Saturday, God, through my wife, enabled it to be lived out in my own life. Does that make sense? I want to encourage you, church. We have the most powerful being living in us through the Holy Spirit, and being is probably the wrong term, but it's what came to mind. We have access to power. And it is through prayer that that power is released in our life. And I call again for us as a church to be a church of prayer. To spend time in the Word, not only individually, but corporately as a church. Praying, seeking the face of God, connecting with Him, listening to God. And as I wrap this up, I'll say it this way. This could be the most important message I've ever preached. It's how deeply I feel about this. I was aware that a week or two ago, our young people, on Wednesday nights when they got together, I don't know what all went on, but I know that, or I heard, that there was a time where they spent praying for someone, for something. Young people, grasp that. Get a hold of it. Practice it. I know it may be difficult to pray out loud when other people, when you're worried about what it may sound like, but simply tell God what's on your heart. That's all it is. And then listen. Learn to listen to what God is saying. For men, all right. Worship team, I'd like us to end with the song we ended the worship time with. Can we do that? We're going to end. That's a song of praise. We got to end with a song of praise here. During that song, if you want to come to the altar and pray, that's your time. The altar is open. Kneel here. By the way, there's some prayer requests in the bulletin here. Barbara, Mark, Harvey and David Schwarzentruber's father, Henry, Nate and Dana, our family of the week. I'd love for some of you to just come and pray for those requests during this time as well. But I don't know what God has been speaking to you or what you heard me say this morning. I feel like it's such a deep topic and I just didn't have time to really delve into it. But I hope you catch the link between the power of the Spirit and prayer. It's so vital. And I hope you wrote questions down. Look forward to delving into some of them. Or talk to me, either way. Let's sing. Stand with us. Father, I pray from my heart this morning that you just take the words that I shared. This big topic, this fast topic, Lord, just
that we zipped through, Lord. Just take it. And Lord, Holy Spirit, just drive them deep into our hearts. Reveal truth to us through these words. And Lord, it may be different truths to different ones of us, and that's okay. But Lord, take it and apply it exactly where we need it in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for the way you speak to us through your word. Praise you for the morning that we've had together. We just say thank you. As we leave this place, go with us, Lord. We're asking you to continue to be with us and to speak to us, reminding us of the things, the events of the morning, and how you spoke to us here. In your name we pray, Lord, for your honor and glory. Amen.